coast to coast on the World Wide Web. This is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. I'm Norm Borg. Many of you may associate the name Greg Peck with the great Muscle Hill. He indeed did train that individual to all those championships. What you may not know, however, is that Greg is also quite known for his work in media relations, publicity, getting the message out. And he feels that in this day and age, and with the crisis facing harness racing, it's more important than ever to get the right message out. He doesn't think we're quite hitting the mark. He's on the other end of my line. Welcome to Trot Radio, Greg.
Thank you very much, Norm. Thanks for having me.
You consulted for the ExxonMobil's, the Republican National Committee. You've seen the message that harness racing is trying to put out. Your concern is that not enough people are really going to be touched by it. What's your feeling?
And here's essentially where it's at. The bullseye now is Queen's Park, and more importantly, Premier Wynn and senior staff. Well, we've got to be saying over and over and over again, I liken it like this, we got to hit them with about a number four full-swedged steel shoe right square in the jaw and the nose every day that the province is better off with continuous an economically viable horse racing and breeding. If that's the case, it makes life better for people and communities across Ontario. And if you look at the OLG's mission, for instance, it's about the same thing. That's the irony. If you look at the mission of the OLG, it's to enrich the lives of those that they serve. And unfortunately, what's happened here, it has not been quite positioned in that manner.
How would you position it?
Here's the problem now. We're up against it for time, obviously. March 31st is D-Day. Mm-hmm. And what the government needs to be persuaded to believe, and when I say the government, again, let me be more specific, it would be Premier Wynn, mm-hmm. or somebody that will go to Premier Wynn that stakes a lot of political capital, if you will, and influences her, persuades her to say, wait a minute now. We need a mandate first here. And with that being said, that will take time. It will take focus. And again, when I talk to reporters, for instance, they'll say, well, horse racing, not that big of a deal. They think it's only going to affect a minority, if you will, okay? But they've got to look at it and say, but again, it's up to us to, again, persuade them of that we are in this together. That yes, we need to streamline, we need to do it better, we need to be more competitive, and therefore we can be an even better return on investment than we were the past several years.
As you said in that conversation, look, we can preach to the choir, we've got to get the average Joe.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but the average Joe, though, Norm, in Ontario, is very much worried about health care, education, energy. It isn't for us to tell them what they should or shouldn't be worried about. You know, we're not in that business. The same as I would never say, well, here's what OLG should do. So, you know, so here's what's that. So when Dwight Duncan says, well, you know, it's an issue of priorities, there are other priorities, we should have jumped right on that and said, yeah, that's right. And again, if we are not able to continue to, you know, and what I see, let's say that we generate about $1.5 billion a year, you know, above what they pay, somewhere along that. And that would be a semantics thing. But we're a good deal. Okay, we're a good deal to keep going. You don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
No. Now, here's my next question, then, because we've got to get the average person, you're right, who's more worried about losing their own job, to maybe wake up to the fact that harness racing and horse racing in general cuts a wide swath through the economy.
Absolutely. I mean,
how do we get to them? Orias says, for example, they're going to start getting tough in their ads. Do you call for the same thing? Is it time to take the gloves off?
No, not at all, because you know the old story. You know, if you don't want to go into a gunfight with a pocket knife.
Mm-hmm.
So if you went into all of that, so you're going to stand up against the province. And I'm reading now about the casino lobbyists in the halls of Queen's Park, and I'm sure that that's the case, and you can't blame them. So if we try to you know, that would be a war we couldn't win. If you look at any kind of politics, money is the mother's milk of politics.
Right.
So how are we going to compete against the province, and we're going to compete against the casinos if we do it? I go back to this. We have to communicate reasonably and say, yeah, we could have done better the last few years. Like, I read the editorial in the London Free Press the other day, where one of the panel members essentially said this, is that they didn't look so much at improving their own product, because they figured, well, if they go to the slots, what's the difference? They're getting a cut of it. But anyway, and I remember, Norm, back in my Ottawa days, which would be the mid-80s, when they started talking about stuff like, you know, the casinos, that my concern always was, if we don't improve our product, if we don't have it so that the legislators walk into, in your case, Rideau-Carlton Raceway, and have a look and say, wait now, hang on, the slot parlor is packed here and there's nobody at the races, why are we giving them the money? You know, we live in a visual society. So it's the overall impression that they get. It's so more and more we have to clearly and simply, and I'll say it again, communicate to them that they are better off with us in our current form, by the way, than without us. And the best that we can ask for is hope to influence would be an extension beyond March the 31st, that hopefully somebody could say to Premier Wynne, you know, again, this would be a dicey situation, Premier, and we've found out, yes, it goes well beyond what you think, that it's the just the horse racing industry and it's just rural Ontario. No, Premier, if we're getting all of this money out of it, you know, that we can put toward healthcare, toward education, and toward the priorities that we have, and build on them. This is not like, you know, Norm, I grew up in Nova Scotia, so what happened with the steel mills and the coal mines, they had to close them down because they lost money every day on them. So at some point, you know, March 31st, you know, that was it. Where in this case, no, it's not like they're losing money. They're actually making money. Mm-hmm. We know that. But they're probably making the case, and they might be right. If they did it differently, they could make even more money.
And again, you touched on this, and we're running out of time, but you touched on the fact that, yes, harness racing in particular has to do a better job of improving its product. And that's the other message we have to convey, that that's what we're prepared to do.
But remember, and I know the challenge, though, Norm, put it this way, for them to compete, for them to come up with, you know, what I've been reading about, what we need to do is focus on the non-cerebral gambler. There are more of those. And by the way, another message that we have, remember, the great thing about horse racing, you know, what's going to happen if the province does have horse racing, you could make that case, you know what they're really, they're gambling on gambling, where nobody wants to hear that, where the horses, there is still a business there. It still promotes agriculture, open space. There's so many good benefits. And I realize this, it comes down to this, for us to be more competitive, it's not, I'm not here to blame anybody, because to make it more competitive, you'd have to get into different gambling products, and guess what happens? You have to get permission from the Ontario Racing Commission, the Canadian Paramutual Agency. It's not that easy. You know, frankly, I look at it this way. I did a presentation at a symposium in New Jersey, you know, who has similar problems, as we all know, but I said this. If you look at Apple, for instance, the most successful company, you know, maybe ever, Steve Jobs looked at it and says, okay, we have to. Everybody says these IBM-compatible computers. No, we got to beat them with our own desktop, and they did it. And then he went beyond that, and he said, no, we have to increase it. We have to make an iPad, an iPhone. And somebody said this, I read the other day in the Wall Street Journal, if he had lived, he said he would have made a simpler version with a television. So, you know, really, here's what's happened. If you look at the parallel that is drawn here, you know, we started with harness racing, okay, and then came along the paramutual racing. Then came along simulcasting. Then the racinos. So now the racetrack and the casino meets. We're at the crossroads. We're at the intersection. Now we have to work together to see what's the next great thing. You know, because here's one major issue. I have a great friend, Mitchell Skolnick, you know, who runs Bluestone Farm, and, you know, he is phenomenal insights, and he's kind of like me. We tease each other all the time that nobody wants to listen to us anyway, but he says this about the rule of marketing. Find out what it is that the customer wants. Don't impose your taste on them, and give it to them, and that's what we need to do. But to say, you know, it's going to be a this or that, no, the customer has clearly said what they want. So we have to say, how can we be involved in this? So I think I'm confident if it was done, we need to bring the politicians back to that. And I am confident that if we can again underscore the benefits, that our priorities are similar, we care about health care, we care about education. I can go on and on and on, but you know, here's the other thing we have to remember. We're a non-essential service. It's not like we are medical care. It's not like we are some kind of an emergency service. So we just don't have the bargaining power that would maybe we would like. Yes, it would be very sad, all the people that would lose their jobs. But if we fight it on that, remember, it's very sad when we can't have appropriate health care. We can't have enough nurses. We can't have enough policemen. We can't have enough teachers. We can't have enough firefighters. You know, that's the way the world has gone. Norm, I'll end on this.
Mm-hmm.
Is I was watching last night. I see Yellowstone Park has to cut back. The Statue of Liberty has to cut back, and they've all been around a long time. So why can't we maybe look at what we could do? And again, please, you know, I'm one of the horsemen. I want it to happen. I want it to be around. I want it to be the next three generations, you know, that I've enjoyed. I want my next three generations to say the same thing. But I think we have to look and say, what can we do, you know, to tighten our belts, but again, do it so that it's economically viable and continuous, but it's also competitive, and it complements the mission of the OLG that clearly says right on their website, you know, is to do it in a way, and again, I don't know the OLG. I'm not here to question what they do, because I don't think that that's a good thing to do publicly, and I think that's a mistake as well. But I'm going to take them for their word. What they say is they want to do it in a way that is better for, you know, Ontario citizens across the province.
Well said. And on that note, we'll have to end it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Norm.